And Proverbs chapter 4. Last week we got as far as verse number 16, where the Bible was talking about the wicked man and then giving us reasons to stay off the path of the wicked. And we were very strongly told to avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away from it. Out there on the path of the wicked, you find people who are up to no good, not only getting into mischief, but trying to drag you into mischief so they can watch you fall. They get upset whenever they see you doing right and walking with the Lord, so they start putting restrictions on you and make it difficult to openly serve the Lord. Get rid of those monuments with the Ten Commandments on them. Don't pray in school. Don't display any Bible verses in public. Keep your faith to yourself. They think that'll make you give up and just go along with their program. So their aim is to cause you to fall. That's what they hope. So to continue where we left off, verse number 17 of Proverbs 4 says, "For they eat the bread of wickedness." That's what they live on. They survive on it. They live on sin. "And drink the wine of violence." Well, when you think of violence, things have gotten so bad today, they just had to kind of narrow the meaning of that word down and say violent crime is murder or assault or something serious like that. But no, violence is our word to describe a violation, to violate. Okay? If you break God's commandments, that's violence. Lying is violence. Stealing is violence. Adultery is violence. Because what have you done? You have violated the commandment. Okay, now do you know what the scripture said? It says they eat wickedness. They drink violence. They can't satisfy their appetite for doing wrong. You know, man, don't you want to be the opposite of that? I don't want to be just somebody who goes to church. I want to be a person whose appetite for righteousness can't be satisfied. My hunger for God, I just can't get enough. Okay, don't you want to be the balance to the evil? We need it. Verse 18, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And your cross-reference for that would be Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So, yes, it's wisdom that you follow, but it's also the word of God where you're going to find that wisdom. Those two go hand in hand. 19, "The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble." And this is the contrast to verse number 12, which said, "When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." Okay, but the wicked in verse 19 know not at what they stumble. Okay, so wisdom is the clear path, the safe path, and the easy path. And wickedness is the difficult, hurtful path that we're warned to stay off of, stay clear of. Verse 20, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Okay, so what do we see again? Devotion, attainment, but then the warning, don't let it slip. You got to hold on to it. Don't get careless. Don't get too involved in other things. 22. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Now, we got to understand, Old Testament, New Testament, rightly divide the word, save people. Show the difference between spiritual truth and physical truth. We understand that. And we know that because sin is in the world, saved people are going to get sick. We know that. We know that because sin is in the world, righteous, godly people, they end up with cancer just like ungodly people. Righteous, godly people end up with leukemia and all these other things just like ungodly people. Okay, we know that. We don't deny that. But as a general rule, you are going to be much healthier if you are not sticking heroin needles in your arm. You're going to be much healthier if you're not driving drunk. You're going to be much healthier if your heart is not full of strife and bitterness and anger. Okay, I mean, come on, these are proven facts that fear harms your flesh, that doubt harms your flesh, that hatred and bitterness harms your flesh. It's not healthy to pursue sin. As a general rule, you're better off laying your head on the pillow at the end of the day, having loved God and loved your neighbor and lived according to the scripture, than if you had been chasing evil and wicked things. So that's the point. You know, and all things being equal, you look at a lady, 45 years old, or 65 years old, who has lived for Jesus. And then look at one who lived for Camel cigarettes and Bud Lights and dance halls. Make the comparison. What you're going to find is that one is going to have the look of God about her, and one's going to look like she's been dragged behind the ugly truck for a while. Okay? I mean, look, I'm just telling you, you know it's true. You've seen it. Sin does take a toll. It affects the way you look. It affects your health. And I'm not trying to be cheap, not trying to be inappropriate, but, you know, men kind of glory in looking like a goon, right? Some men. They're trying to look mean. You know, bless God, I'm rugged. Anybody looks at me, they're going to be a little bit scared. You know, tough, manly. Yeah, but when people think you're 70 and you're really 38, I don't know what you're bragging about. Kind of takes the glory out of it. But I'm telling you, man, sin will hurt you. The wages of sin is death. It's hard on a girl. It's hard on a lady's body to live out there in that world. It's hard on a man's mental health, physical health, emotional health, to live out there in that world, according to the world. Now, but let's go down another path here. He says, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. If you ever have a chance to sit in a courtroom for a day and observe all the divorce cases that come before that judge in one whole day, what you're going to find out is that in most of the cases, I mean, if not all, one or both parties are involved are on some kind of drugs that they're taking for some kind of a mental problem. Okay, you say, boy, that's a lot of mental illness in the society. No, that's a lot of people that don't obey the word of God. They're not healthy. You know, and I'm not going to argue, you know, they need it, they don't need it. I'm not telling you to go home and throw away all of your pills tonight. Okay. What I'm saying is, how is it that 100% of the people under oath have to tell that judge, I am not in sound mental health? And nobody in the courtroom looks upon those people with anything but sympathy and even respect. You know, oh, I'm glad you're getting help. Well, you're not getting help. You're prolonging the agony. But you understand, all those people said to the judge, I'm not healthy. They're all there because of domestic violence, divorce, or child abuse. And they call it family court. Family court. There's not a family there. It's all ruins. Ruined families. It's all devastation. It's all slash and burn, scorched earth. And every one of them has to say, I'm not healthy. And not one person in that room would be interested in hearing the gospel from a Bible preacher, because they all think anyone who believes the Bible is crazy. They'll all tell the judge, my psychiatrist says I'm crazy. I'm being medicated. But they all would agree that anyone with a Bible has got a problem. You know, leave me alone. You're some kind of a kook. Oh, I need a pill. You're making me nervous. What are you doing with that Bible? In America today, parents, and this is the truth, parents line up their first graders at the clinic. Please drug my child. Please put my child on those drugs that will control his behavior, affect his mind, his brain. They're not my kid's crazy. But that's the alternative to the wisdom of God's word. That's what you get. I mean, hey, and you know, every boy in my second grade class, third grade class, fourth grade, all the way up to grade, every one of them, if you judged them by today's standards, every one of them had ADD, attention deficit disorder. And every teacher and every principal and every father and most of the mothers knew how to treat that condition, all right? And they got it under control with a Bible and a belt. No drugs. And it worked. There's no ADD. Okay, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay, you ought to be keeping that heart pure, keeping it clean, keeping it right. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let's talk about these, the froward mouth and the perverse lips. You don't have to tell dirty jokes. You don't have to use cuss words. You don't have to talk about women like that. If you've got to whisper something, it shouldn't be said. If you have to stop mid-sentence, if all of a sudden a decent person walks into your conversation, you should have never started that sentence. Look, you always know when something rotten is coming out of somebody's mouth, because you walk up and somebody, you know they were talking until they see you. What are you talking about? Oh, nothing. That's a lie. You know, there were words coming out of your mouth just a minute ago. You were talking. Why don't you finish it? Oh, no, we weren't talking. Yes, you were, and as soon as I leave, you're going to start talking again. Don't have a mouth like that. Don't let words come out of your mouth that you wouldn't want your mom or your dad to hear you saying, or the preacher to hear you saying. Think about God. This temporary atheism, that's a horrible thing. You know, God hears me when I pray, but he doesn't hear me when I cuss. He hears me when I pray, but no, he doesn't hear me when I gossip. Really? What's he doing? Taking a nap? That's Baal. Don't you remember what Elijah said? Why doesn't he hear you? Is he sleeping or something? Is he out on a journey? Christians act like that. You know, hey, listen to this. I got a good one. Well, if it's a good one, why are you lowering your voice? Why do you have to whisper? Shouldn't you say, I've got to tell you a bad one? Okay, I got to tell you a raunchy one, a dirty one. So funny. You know, if you will put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips, did you know it would clean up all the talk around you? Other people would start cleaning up the way they talk. Okay, I'm telling you, on your job, if you won't cuss, if you'll call men out when they do cuss, they'll quit it. They can help it. They can control it. They don't have to do it. So somebody's got to take the lead in that thing, though. And nowadays, women have gotten just as bad as men. When I was a boy, a woman wouldn't cuss, as far as I knew. I never heard one cuss. A woman wouldn't tell a dirty story. She'd be ashamed to. Now they talk just like men. It's unbelievable. 25, let thine eyes look right on. There's a term from the 70s, at least in America. Right on, man. I don't know if they used that in the Philippines or India, did they? No? Anybody go around saying it? We had hippies, I guess, that was, they'd go around saying, right on. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. So why look to the right or to the left? You say, well, why not? My feet aren't going there. Well, then don't even look there. Just keep your eyes on the narrow path. Right on. Okay? Ponder. Think about the path of thy feet. And let all thy ways be established. Okay? That's what most people don't do. They don't think about where they're going. They just get somewhere and then they ask God to fix it. You ought to think about where you're going. Ponder the paths of your feet. 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. If you put your right foot in, take your right foot out. Shake it all about. Okay? Don't leave it there on that path of evil. Now, again, we're so much more careful. I said this before. We're a lot more careful about our flesh than we are about our spirit, our soul. If you suddenly realize that you put your foot into something unpleasant, you'd take it out as fast as possible. And you would immediately do whatever you could to start removing whatever it was you stepped in off of your foot. You know you would. But in our spiritual life, we step into something inappropriate. We step into something vulgar, dirty. We step into something heretical. We step into something carnal. And it's not all that bad. Well, you know what the Lord said? Take your foot out of that. It stinks. All right, that's chapter 4. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Okay, bow thine ear to my understanding. Okay, you've seen it every now and then in the church. If there's a topic of particular interest to somebody, you'll see that person start to bow, start to lean forward. What is that? That's a gesture saying, oh, I'm going to hear this. I'm tuning in. I want to make sure I don't miss anything. Okay, and that's what God is recommending to you right here. Bow thine ear to my understanding. Okay, get your ear right over here as close as you can. Bow thine ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Okay, here we go. We're going to deal with this as politely as we can while dealing with it and not leaving anything out. Verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. That's sweet. Her words are sweet. The sound of her voice is sweet. She didn't put that lipstick on her neck. She didn't put that lipstick on her arm. She put it on her lips to make them pretty so that you would look at her lips as she talked to you and said, hello, what's your name? Who, me? You talking to me? And her mouth is smoother than oil. She's trying to get your attention. And I'll be fair, it's good that a woman is able to get your attention. Okay? I mean, what I'm saying is there have been church members got a little bit concerned and went to the preacher and said, preacher, have you noticed that these young boys, they're starting to look at the girls around here. You know, I'm a little concerned about that. And the preacher's going to say, well, that's not such a bad thing these days if you consider the alternative. Okay? We can thank God they're not looking at the boys. See, it's not bad for you to be attracted to the opposite gender. You're supposed to be. But you're supposed to let wisdom guide and direct you when her sweet honeycomb mouth and her smooth as oil lips start making their appeal. Okay? Verse 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. What's a good cross-reference for that? Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So you want to fight her two-edged sword, you got to have this two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Okay, so she will cut you to the very depths of your soul. A bad woman will ruin your life. And a bad man will ruin a young lady's life. 5, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. So here's what wisdom said. Did you hear her voice? Did you notice how those sweet lips were talking to you? All right. Before you follow, find out where she's going. Before you respond, check out the direction her feet are heading. If her path's inclined to hell, now would be a good time to begin to distance yourself from her. Not after she's got you in this pit of destruction with her. Verse 6, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Okay, this describes somebody who's flexible. Okay, in other words, she's a hypocrite. Is she a good Christian girl on Sunday, and then she's a worldly alley cat on Saturday? You know, she blends in. She fits in. She accommodates whatever you expect from her. You know, is she decent and kind and polite when mom and dad are around? And then she's a flesh fest when they're not looking? See, if she's not the same person all the time, you better get away from her. You say, yeah, but she's got some good qualities. Enough good qualities to make a trip to death and hell worth your while? Well, I think maybe if she got saved, well, let her get saved. And then after a while, check back in on her. I mean, men, they think they can save her, you know, if they marry her, you know, she might get saved. Well, you want to be a missionary? Go on the mission field. Don't go on a date. You want to win somebody to the Lord? Go preach somewhere. Don't go to the marriage altar. Okay. Yeah, but I knew somebody one time we all know somebody one time, but we also know somebody 100 times, and it didn't work out. It's a big gamble. Huge. 7, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. We could say this is inappropriate. You know, you shouldn't be going to a woman's house if you're not married to her, but it doesn't say that her mama's not there, her daddy's not there, it doesn't say her whole family's not there. So let's, you know, we'll avoid trying to read more into it than what we actually read, what's there. He's simply saying, why are you getting friendly with someone that is a gamble? Why are you even spending time with someone that you can't safely spend the rest of your time with? Okay? There's the door to her house, and there's the path away from her house. Hit the road, buddy. Pick the right road. You don't need to go in that house. You're better off, and I've said this more than once, you are better off free and lonely. Yeah. You say, well, it's just so hard getting through life by yourself. It's not as hard as going through life wishing you were by yourself. If you count all the verses in Proverbs that start out, it is better, do you find 20 things, 20 better things, or do you find 19, and one of those things is repeated twice? Which one did God want to make sure you didn't miss? It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And that's in Proverbs 21:9, and then it's repeated in Proverbs 25:24. Don't miss that one. You better be very careful if you're looking for a bride. You better have high standards for your safety. Verse number 9, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. If you get tied up with a wicked woman, you are going to end up getting tied up with her wicked kids and her wicked boyfriend and her wicked new husband. You're going to get tied up trying to teach the kids right on the 2 days a week that you have them, while she's pouring the world and pouring sin into them on the 5 days that she's got them. Here's the things people never think about until a pastor tries to get them to think about it. It may not matter that you're a Bible-believing Christian and she's a Roman Catholic when you first get married. But what are you going to do with that baby? Okay, are you going to sprinkle it or not sprinkle it? Okay, she wants it sprinkled. All her family want it sprinkled. All her relatives want it sprinkled. All of her friends want it sprinkled. Now you got a problem. Where are you going to send the child to school? Where are you going to take the child to church? See, because you have said God doesn't matter, and she said God doesn't matter. Well, still, when the baby comes along, somebody's God is going to matter. Or you'll have to compromise and just have no God. So you better not go in that house. Oh, she's a lovely girl. She's a wonderful girl. I think she's saved. She just goes to a different church. Well, that's too big of a risk to take. Hope you know. You search that Bible. You find me how many men converted their wives to their religion, and how many women converted a man to their religion. And I'll tell you, God says you better leave them alone. Just leave them alone. And hey, don't you think Solomon might know something about this subject? Listen, God made this man the wisest man that ever lived. He married Pharaoh's daughter and ended up building a temple for an Egyptian god. He kept bringing these other women in, marrying them, and before long, here's all these gods, here's all these idols. In all these houses of worship. Why? Because a man can't survive if he doesn't give in to his wife. I'm the head of the house. Isn't that right, honey? Honey? Please? You might be the head, but she's the neck that turns it. So you better make sure that or else you're headed for cruelty. Verse 10, let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Oh, lest, not let, if you get involved with this kind of woman, strangers are going to be filled with your wealth. Okay, and the Bible's way ahead of its time on this subject. You are going to work your whole life, save your money your whole life, marry that woman, and 3 years later, she's going to be living in your house, and you're not. You'll be in the apartment. You'll be in the trailer. And because that judge, at least in America, that judge is going to say, well, she just doesn't have anything, the poor girl. Yeah, she's got a guy who's going to marry her the day after you give her your house. You better be careful. Now listen, I know people change. I know people start out right and then do wrong. Believe me, I know. I know better than I wish I knew. But if you have any forewarning, I mean, if you see any sign of a wicked woman that you're thinking of getting involved with, any sign, get out. Run. No, she loves me. She doesn't just want my money. Well, as long as she loves you, she doesn't just want your money. But when she stops loving you, she wants every bit of your money, and she doesn't want you anymore. Women, I talked about this Friday, I think. Women, they always go to the preacher. They say, I just don't want anything to do with him anymore. Then why doesn't she just go? You know, why does she have to go to court? Well, because I'm entitled to half of everything. No, you just said you didn't want to do, you didn't want anything to do with him. Well, I want his car. I want his house. I want his bank account. I want his pension fund. And I want his children. you do want something to do with him. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years to the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. That's the hard truth. It's a hard world, bad world. 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. So let's go down another road. And I don't want to insult anybody that got right with God later than they should have. I don't. But men, that girl you met bumping and grinding with you on the dance floor at a bar, do you have any idea what she might be carrying? You know, what are you going to do? Say, well, honey, before we get married, I want you to have a complete physical. I want you to be checked for this and this and this and this. you're going to be embarrassed to say that. You'd be ashamed to say that. It would break off the marriage, probably. She'd punch you in the face. But really, the facts are, I mean, do you know how many guys have found out later that... you know, I shouldn't have been trolling in the garbage dump for a woman to share my life with. And 5 years later, she's back out there on the dance floor looking for the next guy. And you're sitting at home with your disease that you got from her. Now, I'm not trying to be rude. It's in the Bible. God said, I want you to be pure. Young lady, I want you to be pure. Young man, I want you to be pure, because if you're not pure, you have no idea what impure might involve. There's a lot of nasty stuff out there in that world. I wouldn't volunteer for it. People think, there goes that Bible trying to mess up my life. I don't think it's the Bible trying to mess people's lives up. I think it's the Bible trying to keep us. Okay? And again, see what it said in chapter 1. And I know there's all kinds of trouble that saved people have. I understand that. But when he says, if you will keep my words, it will be health to your flesh. Well, here's a good example. There's a lot of social diseases out there that people get from sin. And if you can keep yourself from those, you'll be happy that you did. You won't regret it. Verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. I don't know what any of you here tonight have done before you got here. I don't want to know, unless I have to know, so that I can help you with something, which I'd be glad to help you with. But if you had a father that said, don't do that, whether you listen to him or not, you ought to thank God that somebody stood in the way. If you had a mother that said, that's not right, we don't do that, we don't go there, we don't wear that, we don't go where those people go, you ought to thank God for that. Now, you might have hated that reproof and gone ahead and messed up your life, but you ought to thank God somebody stood in the way. I'll tell you why. There's hundreds and thousands of boys and girls growing up in this world, and nobody has ever said to them, that's hurtful, that's wrong. These poor little kids and their stupid parents sending these 6, 7, 8-year-old kids to a federal school for sex education classes. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to dwell upon it. But do you know what the Bible says? You ought to have people reproving you. You ought to grow up having people say, no, you don't do that. You don't touch in this way. You don't engage in this behavior. You keep your clothes on. Listen, I was privileged. I count myself as being privileged to get in, or to get to live on the very, very, very last days of America. Because, and what I mean is, what you see in the news over there now, what you see going on in America today, that is not America. It's a multicultural, one-world sewer. And I lived in the very last days of true America. When I was a boy in elementary school, the teachers and the parents identified certain girls as dirty. The teacher would say to a boy, a female teacher would say to a little boy, that's a dirty girl. You watch out for that girl. She's a dirty girl. If a teacher did that today, they would fire her. Okay, they'd sue her. The teacher would say to the young ladies back in those days, that boy's from a bad family. That boy, he's got older brothers. I know what kind of boy he's going to be. He knows too much. He's not fit company for you. You better stay away from him. Well, I'm glad I grew up in those times. Now these kids, they're growing up in times when they're encouraging elementary school kids to fornicate safely. They'll pass out condoms at the elementary school. What a septic tank we live in today. I know this thing has gone down gradually so that people don't notice it. You know, but I'm always amazed. Every time I go to America, something comes on the TV that it shocks me. I can't believe what I'm seeing. But everyone else that's there, that's been living there, they act like it's no big deal. They're used to it. And for young people today, it's been that way for their whole life. But I'm telling you, it is so bad, it just makes you want to cry for these kids. What chance do they have? Nobody's standing in their way. It's horrible. It's horrible. So I'm glad for reproof. You might hate the instruction. You might despise the reproof. But it's a good thing you heard it and you know it, so that if you do fall, you know what caused it, and you can get out and make the necessary corrections. Verse 13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. All right, I'll say this, and then we'll pray. Romans 1 says, when you start on the path of evil, that path leads to all evil. But again, see what he's saying. Don't start down the road of evil, because all evil is on that road. God gave them over to do this, but look what was behind that door when it opened. He said, man, if God hadn't pulled me out when he did, I could have gone into that and into that and into that and into that. See? Now, I'll just remind you of this. Men, there's a difference between men and women. Men are visual. They're attracted by what they see with their eye. Okay? Ladies are emotional. And that's why if a guy knows how to say the right things, you can oftentimes see these ugly men with beautiful women. And people say, well, how did he do that? Yeah. Well, the first thing is he made a lot of money. The second thing is he learned what to say. But anyway, young ladies need to be real careful, because they're going to fall for what somebody says. And the proof of that is, there's a difference, is that a heterosexual male has absolutely no interest in buying those romance novels and reading that kind of stuff. Oh, he took her in his arms and the moon was shining on the lake and the wind blew softly through her hair and the birds chirped softly. Gag me twice. But women, they read that stuff. Oh, it's so lovely. And a guy sitting over there, are you all right? Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay. And a woman walks in and she catches a man drooling over something he sees, an image on the computer screen of some fake woman that he'll never meet in his life. And even if he did ever meet her, she wouldn't even say hi to him. And so, man, I'm going to tell you something. That borderline semi-clothed picture that gets you all worked up at the first will not do a thing for you 3 months from now. It's going to have to be something, you're going to have to see something a little bit more risque the next time. Okay? And after a while, that's going to get boring, and it's going to have to go a little bit farther. And after a while, that's going to get boring. And when you hear about these men, the police are knocking down their door, busting them with a house full of child pornography, and you say, what a sick bunch of perverts. They didn't start out, you know, looking at that child pornography. That's what it led up to. Okay, they started out just looking at the girls on the beer advertisements, semi-clothed. But that path of evil is the road to all evil. And I don't care what sin it is, it gets boring. If you ever drank before you got saved, you'll recall that what one beer did to you when you were 14... that one beer will never do that to you again. It's going to take two, and then three. Then it's going to take a six-pack. Sin creates an immunity to sin. And so you've got to go deeper into sin if you're going to get the same thrill. All right, so what the Lord says, whether it's real or imaginary, stay away from that woman. Stay away from the door of her house. And so a lot of people, they don't realize how dangerous that pornography is and what it leads to. That's one of the paths that will lead you into all sin. There's a preacher who got his first computer 15 or more years ago, and he got the thing all set up, and somebody showed him how he could get mail on the thing and how he could use it to look stuff up. And he's sitting there one day in his office, the wife is in the house, and he's sitting there in his office at the computer. And he said, this thought crossed his mind. He said, he got this thought, you know, I bet you could look at some pictures on here. And that man got out of that chair, unplugged that computer, put it in his car, and the next day he took it back to the store and he said, will you give me anything for this? I don't want it. I don't want it. And then the fellow at the store said, why, is there something wrong with it? And the preacher said, no, there's something wrong with me. I tell you what, there's millions of men in this world who would be better off right now if they had done the same thing. And I know some, and you know some. Another man brought home his first new TV set in 1954 so that he could sit with his family and watch the baseball game. In the middle of that baseball game, an advertisement came on for Budweiser beer. He apologized to his family. He took that TV set back to the store. He said, I don't want something in my home that's going to tell my daughter that it's okay to drink beer. And so that's what he's talking about running away from it instead of seeing how far we can go down the road with it before it hurts us. It has hurt us. It has hurt us. So God help us to have the courage and the faith to stand up and do what's right. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your words of admonition and correction and the wisdom that's here in these Proverbs, and how they apply to our lives. We thank you, Lord, for trying to protect us from ourselves and our bad decision making. I pray for all the unmarried people in our church. Lord, it's a tough world out there, and if they're looking for someone to spend their life with, it's very slim picking. So, Lord, I pray that you've got someone for each and every one of them who's godly, who loves you as much as they do, and that there is someone for them that is not like this woman that you've described here in this chapter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.